Hi, this is Lauren Epstein, and you're listening to Cut to the Chase.
Stepping out beyond boundaries takes courage and the ability to dream. We are excited to share our new audio podcast called Cut to the Chase. The structure of this podcast embodies open dialogue with friends, family, and professional colleagues, talking about things that impact our ability to thrive. We hope that you will join our unscripted, unbridled podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Cut to the Chase, episode 84, entitled Take Action. So today I've brought on a feature guest, a dear friend that actually I met through IG. We've had a lot of dialogue going back and forth and trying to figure out how we could collaborate on a podcast. And before I introduce her, I've got a couple quotes that really kind of resonate with regards to what we're going to talk about today, who she is as an individual, her beliefs, and everything that makes her such a great and phenomenal person. And so the first quote starts out like this. It basically goes, "Take action. Any inch of movement will bring you closer to your goals than a mile of intentions." And so as we think about that, whether you're stalled out on a project, you're stalled out on a relationship, or you're trying to work on it, or you're feeling stagnant with your life and basically procrastinating instead of tackling that to-do list, inspiration can be a powerful motivator to get you going. Often knowing that you're not alone can be a reminder that others have been in your same shoes and at the same point and pushed ahead and can be comfortable in their wisdom and in your movement going forward. So our special guest today has a BA in clinical psychology. She's working on her MBA with a concentration in project management. She's currently working in a progressive organization called IKAR as basically a development associate. She enjoys doing work that has a purpose and knowing that her work makes a difference in the world. She got married at the age of 19 and had her son when she was 22 and got divorced at 24. And now she's engaged to her ex. They had a troubled marriage during this traumatic youth based on a narcissistic mother and an abusive home. But now he's healing and on the journey to healing, and they're happy to be giving it another shot. And as the old cliche or old saying goes, right person, wrong time. Some other interesting facts is that she takes pride in her heritage, her family, her youth, and where she came from. She's Jewish. She became Orthodox when she was 10. She's now traditionally a Jew and enjoy all of the experiences of the different levels of Judaism in the different communities. She's a vegetarian. She believes strongly that no animal should be hurt for food or product. She's a proud mom who believes that our children are the future and our family should focus in on bringing our children up correctly. She plans to open up her own nonprofit in the future, which will be focused on supporting individual relationships who suffer from mental illness. Throughout her relationship with her partner, she's been unable to get the support that she needs and plans to create the support for others. She believes that there's always a way. She does not believe in excuses. And if you care enough, you can get it done. Hence the reason, take action for our featured guest today, Ms. Lauren Epstein. Do you have any opening remarks?
Just thank you for having me. It's a real honor to be here.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Yeah, we're certainly delighted to have you on board and, you know, kind of dive into this subject as it pertains to take action. I mean, it's so important that with things that are going on today and how everyone's stuck in their homes and different things that are going on, you know, your mind can continue to wonder quite a bit. And sometimes you can come up, you can become a pretty much a couch potato if you don't get out and do exercises or something to get your mind off of the four walls that you're living within. But as we dive into, you know, our topic here today, so you got married at a young age and, you know, you realized very early on that it wasn't going to work. So when you discovered these things that were happening for you and in your marriage, you know, what were some of the steps that you were able to say, I need to kind of remove myself and my son away from this and get myself in a much better place, not only in mind, body, and spirit? I mean, can you walk us through that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a dark place to be. Mental illness is a really scary place for people to be. And I'm sad to say that it still seems like a really big taboo for people to talk about. People feel like it's their fault or that they did something wrong. And I mean, like any other illness, there's sometimes just not much that you can do about it. And since it's such a new field compared to some of the other medicine that's being reviewed, there's not as much help out there as there should be. And then throwing in just the social constructs of people not feeling comfortable talking about it, it can really limit people to get healed. So, I mean, for myself and for my son, I mean, it just became very apparent that we weren't in a situation that was helpful or healthy for us. I found myself really losing myself in the relationship, losing myself as a partner, as a parent, as a daughter to my family and sibling to my sister. It really felt that I wasn't myself anymore. And I was noticing that my mental health started to decline because of the impacts of my partner's mental health. And it felt like I kept making excuses and I kept saying, you know, I'll give it another month. I'll wait another 3 weeks. This was a bad hiccup and it's going to get better down the road. But the truth is you can say that for forever. And it kind of just dawned on me that it was actually the day before my birthday. And I just thought, is this how I want to spend the rest of my birthdays? Is just wishing they weren't happening because it meant I spent one more year unhappy with my current situation. Do I want to get down the line and look back and say, wow, I gave up my life. I gave away 50 years of my life to mental illness, to a situation that wasn't improving and wasn't healthy for me. And did I want to take those years, not only for myself and others around me, but specifically for my son? It became really clear that day. And that's actually the day that I made the decision that I wanted to get divorced, because I realized that there was not anything else that I could do in the situation to help improve it or to make it safe for anyone involved. I mean, on the flip side, it wasn't fair to my partner. He was trying his best. And like I said, the support for him wasn't there as well. And it just felt like, why are we all fighting for something when it just kind of feels that the stars aren't aligned for us right now? So it really just took a moment for us to just say, you know, the best thing for us right now, even if we love each other and we care about each other, is to take that space and to let us kind of go on our own healing journey independently. And even throughout the divorce, we never got angry at each other. There was never a blame game. It was just, this is what's best for you. This is what's best for me. And this is what's best for our child. We never wanted it to be full of angst or anger or anything negative, because it's really no one's fault that my partner had gone through a really narcissistic childhood. And there's a lot of trauma that comes along with that. And narcissism seems to be one of the biggest mental illnesses that people don't understand, especially because it can be done so covertly and it can just be so secretive that people will say, well, show us the example. Show me the scar on your arm. Show us the proof that you got hurt as a child. And how do you show that your mom doesn't love you when she's so good at putting on a show in front of other people? And how can you give examples of all of that pain that you experienced as a child when these are just core beliefs that are being built in you? And others are just constantly telling you that you have no proof. It must have not happened. I mean, what does that do to a person's psyche? So, mm-hmm. I mean, it really just kind of came to the point where we all knew we needed to go our own ways to get to a better place for all of us.
Yeah. Well, we certainly, thank you for sharing that with us. And you hit on several points there, particularly as it relates to narcissistic behavior. It is definitely being discussed in the mainstream much more than it ever has been in the past. Mm-hmm. And people are really looking back and kind of, you know, I won't necessarily say reliving, but trying to heal themselves from whatever mental or physical or whatever type of circumstance they may have been in during that childhood, to try to understand how it really relates and help them cope with where they are today, you know, in their adulthood life. And, you know, my heart goes out to those people, because I understand that it is really a struggle to kind of put that behind, to ask for forgiveness, to be in a place to where you have the right strength to kind of persevere and then move forward. And then, as you stated, you know, sometimes it requires, you know, additional professional help that is needed to move forward. And, you know, a story that I have that I can share with you and our listeners is, you know, the sure fact that I, as a parent, was always on the road. And so I have two daughters, and, you know, just the fact of the separation, and then eventually I got a divorce myself, which that's another story. But certainly, you know, the strain that it put on my kids, and then the strain that it put on my ex, where I think, you know, there was a time and point where my ex basically was kind of trying to brainwash my kids, because obviously I was on the road. And then when I moved out of country, there was a lot of things that transpired when I moved out of country. But then when I got back, it was like the relationship between my kids and I was like nil. It was almost like I was some type of alien, per se. Mm-hmm. And the more I tried to, you know, pull back the layers of the onion and really try to weave these things back together and put them in a good, you know, wholesome environment, you know, I realized that, you know, part of this narcissistic behavior had existed. And so, you know, we sought out counseling for my oldest daughter, you know, so that we could get her back on a path of her being, you know, an independent woman and being able to deal with, you know, surviving and being able to deal with decisions and understanding how to cope with these type of things. And it was very hard. I mean, it was very hard. It was very hurtful. It was just a tumultuous type of circumstance, because, you know, you feel helpless. You know, it's like, you know, you're doing everything you can do, and the love and support obviously is there. You try to give as much as you can, but you still feel helpless because you just don't feel like that connection is there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, it was just very, like I said, it was just very, very hard. And I think the other thing that you chimed in on, which was obviously something that is near and dear to me as well, is, you know, very much like you, I got married at a very young age. You know, I was like, I think I was 20 when I got married the first time. And certainly it didn't work out. Two different lifestyles, two different approaches. You know, she came from basically a Mormon type background, and the cultural of you know, basically the Midwest. And, you know, me being a Southern guy, military, and, you know, I think we were married probably about 2 years as well. And, you know, we went our separate ways. But, you know, the fallacy of all this is really, as we had talked about kind of opening in the opening remarks, is, you know, you have to understand where you want to be in life. And that requires movement. That requires you to take action. I mean, as you said, and I think you said it very eloquently earlier on, you know, you looked at your life back then and you stated, hey, you know, 50 years from now, am I still going to be saying, you know, this is the excuse, and then I waste away that time without having a life of fulfillment? And I think that's important, you know, because life of fulfillment brings forth happiness. It brings forth joy. It allows for people to basically around you benefit from, you know, your charismatic ways of being happy and exuding that out into the environment. And so, you know, ultimately, you know, we respect the decisions that you made, and we respect where you are today, because ultimately where you are today is extremely important because it requires you to take actions to be in the environment that you're in, to have the lifestyle that you have, and to be true about your purpose and your core values. And I know I kind of got carried away with that and talking about a lot of different things, but I mean, it really resonates, you know, and I think those things are just so, so important. And so as we move forward to my next question, with regards to, you know, your ideology of doing work that has a purpose and knowing that the work that you do makes a difference in the world. Can you walk us through kind of what you're currently doing today, you know, in kind of a summary level to kind of help people understand, you know, that this purposeful means that you live by that is a part of who you are, you know, is really ingrained in everything that you do?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think it's a lifestyle choice that you have to make, down to the profession that you choose, to the hobbies that you decide to do. I currently work as a development associate at a Jewish nonprofit called ECAR, and I love that work. I help basically do the fundraising to get all of the initiatives there done. They do a lot of work in progressive and social justice type of work. And I love that I do that. I am also taking on a job right now to work at the Psychological Healing Center, which is focused on a new way of doing therapy, which I absolutely love. And I've seen that that's what's helped my partner. So I'm a firm believer in it instead of the typical talk therapy that people do. Mm-hmm. I also am working, as you had mentioned earlier, on my master's in project management, so I can really start to understand the professional and business side of nonprofits, so I can eventually run my own. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of just other things that I do where I think living life with a purpose is, I'm Jewish. I like to observe the Jewish holidays and the Sabbath with my family. And I mean, it comes down to the small things. I try to grow as many plants as I can to try to, you know, help the environment. We adopted our dog. We rescued her instead of buying one. It comes down to just the small things where every single thing that you do can make an impact, no matter how small. Reusing that jar that you got at the store to be a new planter for your plant, like that makes a difference. And I think that through my conversations with people, what I've noticed is people think if I can't do enough, I might as well not do it at all. Mm-hmm. And what I hear is it's an excuse to not even get started. You can always try tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow you'll have enough money to, you know, buy the land that you want, to grow the garden that you want, or to rescue the dog. Or, you know what, if you can't do those things, like there's always something that you can do. Pick up the trash that's on the side of the street, go to the beach and pick up trash there. Like just walk your neighbor's dog because you see that they're sick, or offer to cook them a meal because they're not feeling well. Or there, I just find that if you have an open heart and you're willing to use your gifts that you've been given by God, the universe, whatever higher power you connect to, that you can really make a change in the world. And it's amazing to think that life seems so long, and at the same time, it feels like it's just flying by. And if you really want to live a life that has a purpose, you've got to start not tonight, not tomorrow. You've got to start now. And I mean, that's as simple as just listening to a podcast that inspires you, reading a book that really enlightens you, finding a friend that you can talk to. I find that if you have strong human connections to people around you, which is saying hello to the woman or, you know, individual at the grocery store and just asking how their day is going, and understanding that every single thing has an impact on the world around you, that's a pretty incredible thought, that you saying hi to somebody can change their day. What if they were just going through a hardship, or you offering, you know, to bring your friends a coffee because you know that they're stressed at work? Like you have the capability to really turn things around. And again, I think people just decide, oh, I can't do enough. I can't fix this. I can't. Well, no, most of us can't fix those things. But that negative thought process is what stops us from really progressing in the world. And that's what I'm trying to teach my son, which is why I think the children are the future. Is if I can teach him from a young age now to make one small change a day, imagine what he's going to accomplish by the end of his lifetime. It's an incredible thought, really.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for me, just listening to you, that is so inspiring, you know, that you have really taken the action to weave in every aspect of how you engage, how you see, how you view, how you eat, how you sleep. I mean, everything about you sets the exemplary model of what is required to take action and believe in your purposeful movement for who you are as an individual. You know, as you were talking, and of course, you know, when we were doing our research with regards to your bio and everything, you know, I was saying to myself, you know, here's an opportunity where, you know, Cut to the Chase always has just a unique way of really connecting people, and we try to bring value and so forth and so on. And so there's a couple things that I want to share with you as obviously we're talking through this. One is, you know, you're studying your MBA with a concentration in project management. And so what I'd like to share with you at this moment in time is the fact that my company, Skechr, which I own, I've owned that company for many, many years, along with several other project management companies, are certainly willing to basically kind of help you, and you can bounce ideas or so forth and so on. And, you know, at any point in time, there's what we consider to be kind of intern work or anything like that. You know, we would be more than willing to kind of reach out to you and, you know, kind of give you an idea of learning the ropes, whether it's a small project, big project, or what have you, you know, if you're interested in that. The second thing that I want to mention is the fact that we have multiple folks that we have interviewed on this platform that have started nonprofits. And I would love to be able to connect you with those folks, if you're interested, to be able to, you know, have them, you know, share with you how they went about it and the successes and failures, lessons learned, so forth and so on. And, you know, that way, you know, as you're moving forward in your future, you have an opportunity to glean some of that free advice.
Wow. That's, both of those are such incredible offers. Thank you so much. I would love both of them. I think that the best way to learn is the hands-on experience, and to be mentored through all of that is incredible. Thank you.
Sure. Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing, I know you had made mention that certainly, you know, there's a lot of talk out there about, you know, narcissistic and other various things. But, you know, we've also interviewed folks that, you know, have really gone through something very similar to your ex-husband, your spouse or significant other at this point in time. And, you know, they are tied into our platform and our program as well. So for me, you know, I want to just extend the offer to you, because, you know, the one thing I didn't share with our listeners today is Lauren was probably one of the hardest outreach personnel that I think we had to really, you know, we had to really dig deep, and a lot of communication, but that was great. You know, I actually love that, you know, with the fact that, you know, the very first time we reached out to you, you said, "Why me?" And I share it with you at that point in time. I said, because everyone has a story to tell. And the uniqueness behind, you know, our brand is really bringing forth those stories just like yours, and being able to have that platform where, you know, other people can leverage and learn from, you know, what you've gone through, and realize that they're not the only one out there. And I think your story and how you shared it with us today, you know, there's a lot of us that can resonate with that. There's a lot of similarities, regardless of, you know, what cultural, ethnic, or black, white, blue, green, you know, they are. I mean, everyone can relate to something in your story. And, you know, also to open up the network and basically allow for you to know that there are people out there ready to help, ready to give you the advice that you're looking for, ready to just, you know, be an individual as a listener, you know, to be able to help you be successful. And, you know, as you said earlier, you don't believe in excuses. And if you care enough, you can get it done. And so for me, that has always been a part of my mantra with Cut to the Chase, is the fact that, you know, there's never been a platform, unless you're famous or unless you're a celebrity or you're some type of large influencer with a million subscribers and listeners and viewership, but having a platform where you can actually start with everyday people that have the ability to share and transform the world is something more powerful than any amount of money that you can have in the world. Because I tell you, what we've experienced with Cut to the Chase and our actions that we've taken over the past 10 or 11 months has really been through the stratosphere. And it's just been something that we can truly say we've been blessed, you know, to meet, you know, the 100 or so featured guests that we've encountered over the past 10 or 11 months. So all of those things are on the table for you. You know, like I said, only thing you got to do is say, all right, Greg, you know, give me the first one and we'll make it happen. You know, we will make it happen. I guarantee you that we will make it happen.
Thank you. Yeah. This is all super exciting.
Yeah. So as we're getting close to wrapping up time here, you know, what I'd like to ask is, you know, we've talked about taking action. And we've talked about the fact that wanting is not enough. You know, you have to act upon your goals. And basically, if somebody's watching your day-to-day behavior, would they be able to see what you're working towards with your goals? Or are your goals not being worked on? And if so, what are you going to do? And the answer basically is fix it. You know, it's just like, you know, put forth the action.
Definitely.
And so my question to you, you know, with regards to takeaways and values that you've learned, lessons learned that have really helped shape and mold and cultivate you, because I mean, like I said, you are the role model for take action. I mean, to me, there's so many things that you're doing. I think if we were to ever meet in person, I would be like, Lauren, I think I might have to have just a little bit of protein and, you know, I mean, but I understand, I respect that wholeheartedly because, you know, that's a part of who we are. And that's, you know, you have to have those type of those, respects for each other. But yeah, I mean, you know, what could you leave with our listeners, for, you know, value added, you know, things that have helped you along the way?
I guess I would give an example that I learned. I learned once that if you imagine life as if you're on an escalator, a downward going escalator, that unless you're actively taking some steps up, you're on your way down. And that sounds kind of pessimistic, but what it means really is if you're not actively taking steps up, you're not going anywhere. And in my mind, you're not even plateauing. You're really declining in your capabilities. And if you can think about that every time you're doing something, do I want to get up right now and put my laundry away? Do I want to watch, you know, a show on my phone, or should I go take a walk? Should I call a family member, or should I, you know, go on social media? Whatever the different patterns are that you're going through your life. And, you know, should I have the hamburger, or should I go for a salad today? I mean, whatever it is that you're going for, making those small choices, that's you actively taking steps up. And if you opt into that, you really are going to be able to see the change. And it's small change, but if it's consistent, you'll see that, oh, wow, I'm really making progress in life. And that's how I try to look at it. I mean, there's not enough hours in the day as it is. I only sleep 5 hours a night or so because I'm always trying to do something. And so trying to balance it all, it's hard to find the time. But the truth is if you're taking the small steps in between the hectic times of just your daily life, you'll really see that you're making changes out there for yourself, for your family, for the world. And again, you're not trying to impress anybody. It's not about, you know, who's doing better and a competition. It's, are you doing the most that you can do in your situation at this current time? And if you can honestly tell yourself that I'm doing enough right now, then congratulations. Like, that's incredible. And it's a lot of work. But that's the change that we need in the world. We need just more people doing what they can do instead of aspiring to do something better tomorrow. Start today and do something. And whatever you do, it's one step up, and you're making a change in the world and change for yourself. And that's incredible and should be admired. And I guess that's it. That's my big two cents, that as long as you're doing something, that's better than nothing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Certainly. Thank you for sharing that with us. And as we are wrapping up on the close, my final remark, just to chime in on the backside of what Lauren has indicated to us, is sometimes you have to forget what is going on to appreciate what still remains and look forward to what is coming next. And so to our listeners and to Lauren, this has been episode 84 entitled Take Action. We like to thank everyone. And by all means, if you take away anything from this conversation today, is that Lauren is the role model. She is the poster person that you see out there on the banner that is taking action and living every single day through her words, through her actions, and through who she is as a mom and as an individual and as a professional. And Lauren, thank you very much. To our listeners, bye-bye. This is Gregory Proctor. Cut to the chase. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to Cut to the Chase. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn at Cut to the Chase. You'll also find even more great content on our website at www.k2tcpodcast.com. Thank you and catch you on the next episode.